Let's go to Andrew Nkumise. As I said, he's a board member of the South African Board for Sheriffs. The sheriff obviously being the people that would come and change the locks or, you know, open the door and take out all the goodies when an eviction actually happens or an execution happens, an execution of property by the court. Good evening to you, Andrew, and thank you for joining us, man.
Good evening, Kezal, and to our listeners.
Great stuff, man. I guess that you're not a big Bob Marley fan, hey?
Why, if I may ask?
I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy. But on a serious note, mate, look, we obviously have, ordinarily, I know that no one wants to talk to the sheriff on the phone, because usually when you talk to the sheriff on the phone, you're in serious trouble and your stuff is about to be taken away. But, I mean, the big issue that we're talking about is obviously the process of eviction. It is one of the most difficult things to undertake, A, because obviously you have a legal process that you have to undergo, generally speaking. But really, I think the starting point for me is, where do sheriffs play a role? When does a sheriff enter the fray and assist with an eviction?
All right. I wish by the end of our conversation, people will appreciate sheriffs and not be afraid of sheriffs. But to answer you, mm-hmm. Sheriffs become involved in the legal process of eviction once the landowner or the homeowner is instituting a legal action to evict an unlawful occupier.
Okay.
It might start with a termination letter if maybe the tenant has breached the occupation agreement, and then the owner issues out a letter to terminate the agreement which was reached before.
So hang on a second, just to take you a step back here, and I hope I'm not misunderstanding you. That's why I'm interrupting and asking now. Are you saying that, let's say, for example, I have a tenant? Those tenants aren't, say, paying their rent. I've given them the sufficient notice. I've said to them, listen, I've written a letter of demand saying that, listen, Mr. X, you need to pay your rent. It's due at the end of January. You didn't pay, failed to pay. I give you 20 days notice, and then boom, we get to February, and again, they didn't pay, and whenever, and I finally issue a letter saying that I hereby terminate your legal occupation of my flat. I hereby evict you. I haven't been to court. I evict you. Am I then able to take that particular letter after having delivered it to my tenant? Let's assume that he refuses to leave, or even if he is willing to leave, but I can take that letter to your office as the sheriff. I think, I think I know where the nearest sheriff's office is, and then say, please assist me in getting rid of this person.
Okay. You are partially right. And I think maybe that just to rectify the record, this letter is actually called a notice of termination of lawful occupation. Now, that notice might be in the form of a letter which the homeowner, through maybe his or her attorneys, gives it to the sheriff to go and serve it upon the tenant.
Mm-hmm.
Then the sheriff obviously will attend to the premises and serve it upon the then occupant of the premises to inform them that, look, you are hereby given a certain number of days in order for you to can evict because of you are now in breach of whatever is in place, and therefore you are regarded as unlawful occupant because of the law requires you to give a termination of the existing agreement before you can start to take the person's belongings and put them out.
Okay. I hear you on that. And obviously there is a fair process that is required. But the reason why we're speaking to you tonight, Andrew, is because obviously a lot of people are, you know, very afraid. And believe you me, I'm one of those people that I've been thanking my lucky stars for quite some time. You know, we have a flat that we let out as well. And thus far, except for on one occasion, we've had a reasonably smooth run. with tenants, you know, and the person that I eventually needed to get rid of and get rid of very quickly was a bit difficult, but was I could persuade this person to leave. And I didn't have to take it to a legal process, because unfortunately, the biggest fear I think that a lot of homeowners have, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people will call in with these complaints, if they want to, they can give me a call now on 011-883-0702 to complain or to explain what are some of the issues that they've been through. Because I can tell you, I've heard on many occasions that people are dead scared of actually getting involved in any form of letting, because eventually you could find yourself in a situation whereby you find yourself having to get rid of someone, but you have to go through a very lengthy process. And I mean, that is quite, really not a nice thing to go have to put up with.
Correct.
So, I mean, you know, beyond that, what are some of the tips that you then have for people who have an extra flat? Because it happens, you know, you buy your first property, it's, you know, you're young, you're not married, you don't have children, you don't have a dog, you don't have a whatever, and that little flat in that particular complex just seems to be ideal and wonderful. But then eventually, you know, your lifestyle changes, things happen in your life, and now you need the space. You move out of that place, you can't sell it, because if you sell it, then you're going to make a loss on the money, so you decide to let it out to other people. What are some of the tips that you have in mind for people when it comes to this issue, so that you don't have to get to the point of eviction? And if you do get to the point of eviction, what will make your life a little easier?
Okay, Kevin, look, unfortunately, my submission to your scenario or to your question is going to be very limited, in a sense that unfortunately, if you decide to let someone to occupy your premises, you are doing it without involving the sheriffs. There has to be an agreement in place.
Yeah.
Only when the agreement is now become breached, unfortunately, you cannot just kick the door and take their stuff out on the street because of they have breached it. There are processes which are in place, and also the landowner or the homeowner has to go through the processes in order to finally get the court order to eject that person if the person has breached the existing agreement. So, to be honest with you, I would say for tips, you just have to do your homework and check, do a very thorough background to see to it what kind of a person are you letting inside your space, how reputable the track records. You need to put those things in place, because once the agreement becomes sour and it can't be breached. Mm. Unfortunately, we are going to have to get involved, because of the court. Eventually, once your matter has been heard, the court will issue a court order which is directing the sheriffs to come and evict that person because of the person is occupying unlawfully. So it is rather not quite involving the sheriff from the start. The only issue is that the landlord must make it upon him or herself to see to it that they are renting out a premises to a reputable and a reliable person.
And I mean, that's obviously very important. But unfortunately, as you know, Andrew, people go to job interviews and they tell you that their biggest flaw is that they're perfectionists and they work too hard, and that they push themselves all in an effort to try to get a job. But then when they do land the job, then they become lazy, or then, you know, then their lazy self comes forward and then the true colors come through. And the same applies to tenants as well. People will tell you that they keep places clean, that they will always pay on time, and that, you know, income is not a problem. But then after month one, then, you know, the problems now start. Then, you know, suddenly they're late because their child was sick, or they claim, you know, the dog was sick, or someone was sick, or something went wrong. You know, there was some type of an emergency, and unfortunately, that's where things start deteriorating. And I'm not saying that one is not, you know, reasonable in accommodating people, But unfortunately, you know, excuses after excuses after excuses follow. And that's usually how you get to this particular point in time. Now, there's two things that I just want to clarify with you. But before I do that, I see that I have Tebogo on the line from Pretoria. And I just want to quickly hear what Tebogo has to say on this one, Andrew. Tebogo, good evening.
Tebogo? Hey, Andrew, how are you doing?
I'm great, man.
I'm good, man. Great show that you have in there, man. Thank you so much for the show.
Thanks, man.
I have this feeling that your guest is not necessarily answering the concerns that most of us as tenants and business owners do necessarily have. I'll give you a brief scenario.
Okay.
I have a tenant actually since the beginning of last year. This tenant actually, we signed the lease agreement, and the lease agreement was a period of 12 months with a 1 month notice. But what happened is this tenant actually breached the agreement in terms of she could not afford to pay. And I gave her notice of eviction. Well, I did not follow the process in terms of going to the lawyers because the process becomes just too cumbersome and expensive. So what I did is issue her the letter of eviction, or rather the notice, that within a period of 30 days, the next coming 30 days, I'm not going to allow her to continue staying unless she pays the arrears. And she failed to do that, and I evicted her from the premises. So what she did is she went to her lawyers, and her lawyers actually took me to the High Court, and they said I must provide her with alternative accommodation. I'm still owing the property. I need to pay the bond. So I just need to hear from the sheriff in terms of his understanding of the law. How do I meet my obligation towards the bank if I'm having a person who's staying in my property and this person is not paying, regardless of the fact that we do have a lease agreement to say she or he must pay X amount of money on a monthly basis. The same agreement that I'm having with the bank that I must pay X amount of money every single month. So if I fail to do that, the bank will blacklist me. If I evict this person, then the court are on my case.
So and I mean, beyond blacklisting is that unfortunately you'll find that Andrew or one of Andrew's colleagues are the very same people that then executes on that very property that you own, and you lose the property that you've been paying
you
towards.
Lose the property. They will execute the property. Yeah, after 2 or 3 months, they will put the writ of execution against your property. Whereas on the other hand, the law is saying you have to find this person an alternative accommodation, and this person is sitting in your property, and he or she is not paying. So I just want to hear him explaining this process, because all I'm hearing him saying is letter of notification and all this and all that. But in practice, it doesn't work like that. And it kills us as investors, because we really are struggling with these people, because we are very much aware that we cannot evade them. So I want to hear him on that, if you can, please.
And I guess it gets worse, especially under the very difficult economic and financial circumstances. It becomes more and more of a risk.
Just as a parting shot quickly, bro. If you have... probably imagine yourself having about 4 to 10 properties, and you have about 50% of your tenants relying on the fact that you cannot evict them. Then what happens to you? You're sitting with 5 properties that you're paying almost about 10,000 a month, and these people are not paying.
Yeah, exactly. That's serious trouble. Yeah, that is trouble waiting to brew. But let's leave it there, Tebogo. I think your question was quite clear.
Is the law is against some of us actually who are, you know, lawfully abiding citizens, because we're not actually getting any comfort from the law, because they are saying, no, this person cannot have an alternative accommodation. You have to provide them with alternative accommodation, regardless of the fact that they are not paying. So I just want to give the gentleman on that.
I hear you. Thanks. That was Tebogo out of Pretoria. I mean, you got the essence of his question there, Andrew, and it's very true. I mean, that is one of the big issues that people are concerned by, and that is why I specifically asked you whether it is dependent on a court process or is that letter sufficient? Because obviously you don't want to be faced with a situation whereby the 1 week you're helping me get rid of my tenants that aren't paying, and then literally a week later, you're probably executing that very same property because now I can't pay the bank. Because I had to get that other person alternative accommodation.
Okay. Kevin, look, the role of the sheriff in evictions or in rental agreements, or let me start first with rental agreements. As I've said, maybe I didn't stress it enough, but sheriffs, they don't play any role between the landlord and the tenant.
Of course, yeah.
It is only when the process of eviction starts, whereby the landlord has now to issue a notice of termination of an agreement which the tenant has breached, that the landlord will give that notice to the sheriff to go and give it to the tenant. During that service, where the sheriff says that termination, the sheriff's obligation is to explain to the unlawful occupier or to the tenant that, look, you are in breach. You need to move. If you don't move, then due court processes will be followed. And unfortunately, even at that time, we cannot eject that person out because of it is at the initial stage whereby a notice is given to formalize.
Now, so, it's important to clarify that, because I think part of what people, what the assumption and perhaps my assumption was as well, and this is why I was a bit surprised by your answer, is obviously the ejection bit, because the immediate understanding or expectation is, and that is what one thinks of a sheriff when the sheriff comes knocking, is that the sheriff is there to eject rather than just to deliver a document. But it's true, sheriffs play multiple roles. I mean, usually I think you'll probably spend 99% of your day delivering summonses as opposed to actually evicting people or executing properties. Is it not so?
Yeah, and then just to add on that, our service of the notice of termination will also assist the landlord in bringing the matter to court. Mm. That, look, I have given this person an opportunity to get out of his own cognizance, the person didn't. Then that notice was even served by the sheriff. Here is the sheriff's return. So it is clear that this person, even after the sheriff has explained the breach, that the person doesn't want to move. Therefore, my return, the sheriff's return basically is the report back that the sheriff is giving back to the landlord, that I have served this notice, this is what transpired. On this day, at this place, I met with Mr. X, who identified himself as the occupier or the wife or the husband, and I explained to that person that, look, you have to move out because of you are not occupying the premises lawfully. So, unfortunately, at that point, we are not entitled to take that person out. Only when the due court process has been taken place, that the court issues a warrant of ejectment, it is then that the sheriff is now empowered to go and evict that person. So, going back to the issue of the war, unfortunately, the agreement that the landlord and the tenant enter into, sheriffs cannot be part and parcel thereof. That is an agreement which takes place privately between two private individuals. And it is unfortunate that the listener needs to understand that sheriffs are actually neutral parties to a dispute.
Okay, so just a very quick question then, because I got a question about this then, and then I wanted to touch on this very quickly, okay, because we literally only have about 3 minutes left there, Andrew. Okay. Hey, what is your role as sheriffs then? I mean, are you merely messengers of the court? Are you peace officers? What are your duties and your responsibilities within the legal mandate? Very quickly.
All right, sheriffs are employed in order to serve and to execute legal processes and notices.
Okay.
Yes, that's in a nutshell.
Okay, so in other words, you, the guys that will deliver the summonses, et cetera, et cetera. I take it that you, along with the police, for example, will go and get vehicles repossessed, houses repossessed that have not been paid for.
But there has to be an order ordering the sheriff to perform a specific act.
And that obviously comes through from court. Now, as a private citizen, when is it that I'm allowed to drive directly to your offices as sheriffs in whatever particular area, say Randburg or Sandton or whatever other particular area, drive to that sheriff's office and say, listen, yeah, I need your help under the following circumstances. And do you guys actually charge people then?
Okay. Sheriff's offices are assigned to a ministerial district. So basically, each and every ministerial district has a sheriff appointed to it. And sheriff's offices are open to the public for the people to can come and seek advices, but we are not legal practitioners.
Okay.
So, in most cases, if you come to me, let's say you are having a domestic issue or you are having a civil issue, in most cases, I will refer you to the office of the legal aid or to any local attorney to take the matter further, because we cannot institute action on their behalf. We can only listen and advise to the best of our abilities.
Okay, great stuff. No, but it helps to know. And I think that the valuable bit that you've given us tonight is the fact that you can obviously come out of this conversation knowing that you can go to your local sheriff, obviously obtain that type of information. But I guess your better starting point is obviously looking at the lease agreement that you enter into with someone and who is the person that you're entering into with, you know, in that particular lease agreement. You don't want to find yourself in a position whereby you're getting involved with Andrew, you're saying to Andrew, Andrew, you can rent my back flat or you know, my back room, and Andrew never pays rent, and then we end up with a headache. Rather try to sort out the issue right at the beginning. Is that not so?
Correct, sir.
Okay, 100%. Thank you so much for your time. All the best to you. And of course, how does one get a hold of you guys? Is there a particular way? Is there a website that one can go to just for a quick reference so that you understand who is the sheriff in your particular area very quickly?
Right. There is a South African Board for Sheriffs.
Mm-hmm.
You can contact us on 021. We are based in Cape Town. And we are also available on social media. Né? And then it's 021-426-0577. Or you can send an email to contact at sheriffs.org.za.
Okay, we'll leave it there, Andrew. Thank you so much. I'll give you back to Rifilwe, of course. And if there's any other further contact details, then you know, she will take them down and hopefully refer it to you.